You're listening to Keeping Connected with the Quran, a series that reminds us of the many beautiful ways the Quran can be a guide, a teacher, and a healer in our lives. Join a rotating cast of insightful hosts and guests featured throughout the week and make the Quran a companion in your day, every day.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. I want to welcome you back to Quranic Reflections. I have, of course, with me Sheikh Abdullah Aduru, alhamdulillah, and none other than the master of turbans, Mufti Abdurrahman Wahid, alhamdulillah, who was a fan favorite of Quran 30 for 30, I guess. So alhamdulillah, we're blessed to have Mufti Saab back, alhamdulillah, with us. And he's joining us, actually. And he didn't ask me to say this, but he's joining us from the incredible new site of Miftah in Michigan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it Miftahun lil Khair, an opening of good for the entire ummah, the entire community here in North America in particular. A wonderful facility, alhamdulillah, that's being built out. And we're blessed to have him with us, alhamdulillah. So tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be reflecting on a phenomenal section of the Quran that gives us practical advice to ourselves and also gives us advice on how to give advice. And it is the story of Luqman al-Hakim alayhi salam, Luqman speaking to his son. And before I hand it off to Mufti Abdurrahman, inshallah, I just think the story of Luqman in very brief makes so much sense for us to understand today, inshallah ta'ala. And that is that Luqman al-Hakim, contrary to what people might think, is actually not a Nabi, not a prophet, according to the majority of the ulama. But he was a man who rose to become a legend amongst the Arabs that was quoted frequently, even in the time of Jahdiyah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded people that Luqman al-Hakim was a monotheist. And in fact, they used to pass around the Amthal of Luqman al-Hakim. So people used to write down, they used to pass around the principles of Luqman al-Hakim as principles of wisdom. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him to our attention and to the attention of the Arabs that this man that you admire for his wisdom was not a fool like you all in his aqidah, right? He was a man who believed in one God and who had that as central to his wisdom. Luqman al-Hakim, according to most of the mufassirin, starting with Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he was an Abyssinian man who was enslaved, brought to the Arabs in the land of Palestine. So if you read actually Tanwir al-Ghabash by Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, which talks about black history in Islam, he has even, you know, a narration, while it doesn't meet the standards of hadith, of Luqman al-Hakim meeting Dawood alayhi salam, right? So living in the area of Palestine, about 1,000 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his name is Luqman al-Hakim for a reason, the wise. So he's basically a legend. He was a man that was enslaved, but because of his wisdom, he was freed and taken as a sage of sorts to the Arabs, even to be quoted 1,000 years later in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Shu'b al-Iman, and there's a weakness in the narration, but it's a beautiful narration that Luqman al-Hakim was quoted to have said, "As-samtu hikmah wa qalilun fa'ilu," that silence is wisdom, and very few people practice this wisdom. So that's kind of a theme of Luqman, that he wouldn't speak unless he had to speak, and when he spoke in parables, and he spoke great wisdom, and that was something that he was admired for. Malik has a narration that someone said to Luqman al-Hakim, you know, recognizing his position in society, his peculiar position in society. So he said to Luqman, you know, how did you, ma balagha bik ma nara, what caused you to reach what you reached? And what he meant by that is al-fadl, he meant his virtue and his status in society. So Luqman al-Hakim said, sidqul hadith wa ada'ul amana wa tarku ma la ya'nini. He said, truthful speech, fulfilling my amanat, fulfilling my trusts, and abandoning that which doesn't concern me. There are so many beautiful lessons and wisdoms that we have from him, but what greater wisdom than the wisdom that we take from his advice to his son that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called to our attention in the Quran. So inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to hand it off to Mufti Abdurrahman to give us an overview of those verses, and then of course to Sheikh Abdullah inshallah ta'ala, and let's reflect together on the advice of Luqman al-Hakim alayhi salam to his son.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Omar. Dr. Saab, well, I reward you for the introduction, and Jazakallah khair for inviting me back on this Yaqeen platform, this blessed and sacred platform of Yaqeen. I'm honored to be here. Next time, just be honest with your audience, because many of your audience, they already start, they believe that I am the character from the Yusuf series, so the one who played Yusuf alayhi salam. Just tell them I am that person, because you know, right now we're just introducing me as Mufti Saab, but you know, just let them know it's me. It's the same guy, even though I don't know his name. But nonetheless, we
yeah,
chose.
Yeah, Abdullah's face fall. People don't know you like that, man. You gotta be careful, Sheikh. You gotta be careful, Mufti Saab.
I know, but you know, just want to be honest with you. So we're starting off on this these few verses of in the chapter of Luqman, Surah number 31, and the verses I'm going to reflect over are verse number 13 and 14. And the reason why I find these verses so important is because a lot of times in our life we're finding ourselves, you know, giving advice to others, as parents to our children, as mentors to those who look up to us, as employers to our employees, as an older brother to our younger siblings. You know, we're always faced with those situations. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala captured this moment, it tells us how valuable this moment is. How many times do parents have a conversation with their children? So many times. But this is probably Luqman al-Islam having a candid conversation with his child. And next thing you know, this is captured in the Quran. That tells us how valuable this is. Many personalities are mentioned in the Quran, but a lot of times they're just mentioned in passing by not by their name, but just by إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ صَاحِب. Or if you look in رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى in Surah Yasin, just a man came running. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a person's name and then mentions the story, that means there's a lot of value to be taken from these verses. And that's why I thank Yaqeen for in doing these reflections even after Ramadan and imparting this knowledge to our audience who's watching. Now here at Luqman al-Islam, he starts off the first, and what's important is the sequence of the wisdom as well, how it starts. The sequence is very important to understand. We cannot miss out on the sequence. The first thing he says, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِإِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. He says, oh my son, do not associate partners with Allah, because verily associating partners with Allah is a great injustice, right? So now, of course, this is the fundamental part of our deen, the fact that we do not associate partners, tawheed, we do not associate partners with Allah. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned something beautiful. He says, there's no way that Prophet came to this world just to break physical idols, but they also came to this world to break those idols that we have in our hearts. The idol of the love of dunya, the idol of animosity, jealousy, desires. Now, here Luqman al-Islam is talking about the fundamental thing, that understanding the value, the status of Allah in your life. And this is the first thing parents need to impart to their children. Right, a lot of times our parents, the impression that children get is my parents can do everything. I want something, my parents will get it for me. I'm sick, my parents are going to help me. I need something, they'll get it for me. But I remember as a child, I mean, I'm not saying, may Allah help. I'm not saying my parents were the best parents, but I remember as a child when we were growing up, my father would always come into the room before we sleep, and we never knew Urdu. Right? We spoke English. My father's a physician, mother's a physician. So we never really spoke Urdu growing up. But he would always, every single time before we would sleep, he would make us sing this lullaby in Urdu. And, you know, that was the only Urdu sentence I knew. But it was just something so powerful. It says, Dur dur jayenge, kal mein ko pilayenge, abbu bhi jayenge, ammi bhi jayegi, paise ho to jayenge, paise na ho to jayenge, bhuke ho to jayenge, khana ho to jayenge, sardi ho to jayenge, garmi ho to jayenge. Like, basically, it means that we will travel all over the world spreading the kalima la ilaha illallah. It doesn't matter if it's cold, if it's warm, if we have food, if we don't have food, if we're hungry or not. This is our purpose of our life. And sure. I remember when we used to sleep at night, these were the final statements we used to sing, and we used to try to sing with a good voice. I remember living in that studio apartment. There was nothing there, but there was two of us. My father's still trying to finish his medical school program in Michigan State University, but we used to always sing this. Whenever someone used to ask us when we were kids, what are you going to do when you grow older? And we'll say, dur dur jayenge, kal meko pilayenge. Like, it was like the biggest thing in the world, that we're going to go all over the world and spread the tawheed of Allah, right? Like how Allama Iqbal in Shikwa, he says, di adane kabhi Europe ke kaliisaon mein, kabhi Afrika ke tabte huwe sahraon mein, shan aankhon mein najashti thi jahan daron ki, kalma padte the hum chhaon mein talwaron ki. He says, look, we traveled the world. The Prophet left us, but we knew what we had to do. We knew the status of Allah in our hearts. We traveled the worlds. We gave adhan in churches. We went in the deserts of Africa, you know, scorching heat. That didn't stop us from spreading the la ilaha illallah and the tawheed of Allah in our hearts. And he says, we spread the kalima under the shades of swords, right? He's talking about Rabi' ibn Amr, how he was walking under the shades of the swords. I mean, this was the parenting that we received. Like, look, the biggest, the one that's the most important in your life is Allah. Because if we teach our children the dependency that they have on Allah, then when they become independent of us, they will not stop talking to us. The moment our children learn that they're independent of their parents, that's when it's the moment of the truth. The thing that hurts the most is, I don't need you anymore. That statement, whether it's directly or indirectly, when we hear that or we feel that, it's the worst moment of a parent's life. May Allah save us from that, right? So if we teach them that we are faqir, like even if you look at the linguistic miracles, like ghani comes right before this ayah. Ghani means independent. And we are faqir. The opposite of ghani is faqir. We are completely dependent on Allah. And we teach our children that, look, you need something, ask Allah. You're sick, look, we'll make dua to Allah. This is a dua. And it may seem so cliche, but really it has such a powerful imprinting on our children's heart. So here Luqman al-Islam is saying, first thing first, this is the most important thing. If we cannot settle this, if our children have this in their heart, even if they go away from us in college campuses, they'll be completely fine. Imam Shafi'i's mother taught him this at a young age, never lie. It doesn't matter what happens, never lie. And Imam Shafi, once he was traveling and his caravan got looted, and you know the head looter was asking each person if they have something, and they were all lying that we don't have any money in our pocket. When he asked Imam Shafi, do you have something? He said, yes, I have some money in my pocket. He was, you know, intrigued by this, and he was shocked that this young man would answer in the truth. He said, you know, you don't have to tell me that you had something. He said, well, I made a promise to my mother that I will never lie. And he says to him that, I don't have much time to say the Arabic. So he says to Imam Shafi, he says, well, you know, you're keeping the covenant of your mother in her absence. And it is more, Allah's covenant with me has more right for me to abide and keep in his absence. So from today onwards, I will never steal again. That's the right. Fact that this man, even though he was not with his mother, there was no, you know, keep my location on so I know where my child is, make sure there's a curfew. No, they put that in their hearts at an early age. For the rest of their life, they rest assured that everything is fine. When Asma bint Abi Bakr anhu was 100 years old and Abdullah bin Zubayr anhu was leaving the room about to get martyred by Hajjaj bin Yusuf, and he hugs his mother, blind lady, hugs her for the last time. And she says, اِخْتَرِبْ مِنِّي لِأَتَشَمَّمَ رَائِحَتَكَ, you know, come close to me so I can smell you for the last time, you know. And Abdullah bin Zubayr says to his mother, he says, يَا أُمَّا كُونِي عَلَى ثِقَةٍ. I'm on my mother. I know I'm gonna die right now. You're probably gonna see me again. But you know what? Keep your head high. إِنَّ ابْنَكِ لَمْ يَتَعَمَّدْ إِنْتِيَانَ مُنْكَرٍ فَقَدْتُ وَمَا عَمِلَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ قَدْتُ وَلَمْ يَغْدُرْ فِي أَمَانٍ قَدْتُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ عِنْدَهُ شَيْءٌ آثَرٌ مِنْ رِضَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قَدْتُ وَلَا أَقُولُ ذَلِكَ تَسْكِيَةً لِنَفْسِي وَلَكِنِّي قُلْتُهُ لِيُدْخِلَ الْعَزَا عَنْ قَلْبِكَ. He said, oh my mother, I'm hugging you for the last time, but remember, you did a great job taking care of me and upholding me when I was a child, and because of that, I've never intentionally done something wrong. I never hurt anyone's feelings in my life. I never lied in my life. I never even hurt a non-Muslim's. I never broke even a non-Muslim's heart in my life. I understood the value of humanity. I upheld justice wherever it was. And he says, I'm not saying this so that I could be written in record books that this guy was a great person, but I'm saying it so that you feel confident and happy that when your son leaves this world, you raise a beautiful child. Imagine our child can say that to us. Sometimes we are afraid to even open their phones because we are going to be shocked at what we see. So the first thing is this. Iqbal says, you know, this: if we don't take these idols out of our hearts, if we don't teach ourselves and our children that we got to get all this stuff out of our heart, the status of Allah is a central part of our heart, what's going to happen is, مَجُ سَرْبَ سَجْدَهُ وَكَبِيْتُ زَمِينَ سِعَانِ لَغِي سَدَا تَرَ دِلْتُ حَسَنَمْ آشَنَا تُجِي كَيَا مِلَغَ نَمَازْمِ. He says, I did sajda once, I kept on doing sajda, kept on prostrating in front of Allah, but I could not feel the beauty of iman, the sweetness of iman, the sweetness of ibadah. And finally, metaphorically, he's saying that I heard a noise from the ground up saying to me that your heart is full of idols. What are you going to get from this salah? How are you going to feel the sweetness of this salah? You got to get that out first. So that's the first thing Luqman is saying to his son. And I hope I have a few more minutes. Then next part. Now listen to this. And this intrigued me until I found this in Tafsir. So I didn't want to quote this till I found this in Tafsir. All the verses, the mukhatib, the one who's speaking is Luqman, and the mukhatab, the one who's hearing, is his son. The entire sequence, except for this verse right here, verse number 14 and 15, it switches scenes. Now the mukhatib is Allah. Allah is speaking, and the mukhatab is all of us. That's very interesting. I used to always think, why is that the case? All of a sudden it's وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانِ, and we have commanded. And in tafasir it says, beautiful. It's the tafsir that says, if you did your job by making sure your children, yourself, you know Allah's rights upon you, you know the status of Allah, you teach your children the status of Allah in their lives, Allah says, then I will take responsibility for them to obey you. That's my responsibility now. He doesn't say, Luqman said to his son to take care of your parents, but Allah says, I said to the child to be dutiful to their parents. That's beautiful, right? Like the fact that if this can happen, then Allah will bear responsibility for us, for our children to be dutiful to us for the rest of our lives, right? The fact is, if our children don't see that in our lives, you know, just a 12-year-old child Muslim child committed suicide in our local community, right? And when I'm sitting with this Muslim, when I'm sitting with the father and mother is regretting over what happened, Sheikh Umar, honestly, when I went to their house, it was as if I was in New Zealand again, sitting in with the family who lost their child. But the only difference was there was a guilt trip among those people who did not become shaheed in Christchurch, that I wish I was shaheed. This was the guilt trip that I wish I did more. I wish, the mother is saying that, I wish I stood with my son on Laylatul Qadr. I was too tired. And you know, the fact that I wish we did more for this child. This is what the next verses, Allah is changing up scenes and saying, if you teach your children this, then I will make sure your children will be obedient to you, respectful to you. And then under this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then starts talking about how much pain our mothers went through. When we look at our children, yes, even when they're getting married, I'm not going to go into the Desi culture, but we're looking at spiritual stability. It means financial stability. I mean, spiritual stability is more important than financial stability, right? Sheikh Umar, alhamdulillah, you're married, you have children. But for example, hypothetically speaking, you know, our Desi culture, you have to have certain requirements. Munda means man, like the guy in Punjabi, he has to be tall, mashallah, you hit that one. Munda has to be handsome, mashallah, you check that box. But Munda has to be doctor. Okay, look.
You're DOS, DOS, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah, so exactly. So for example, if you walked into someone's house and they said, Mom, you know who this is? This is the Umar that they made the Umar series after. This guy has like 10 million Facebook followers, Instagram, this, that, that. Is he a doctor? No, come back to me. No, but you don't know who this guy is? Unfortunately, even in our own culture, even religious, we put so much importance on financial stability, and we just lip service about spiritual stability. The most important thing is spiritual. How many sisters and brothers are sitting there who may not have a college degree, but they're spiritual? I mean, they're uplifted, but you know, they're not even going to be, you know, just because he's like 5'8" and the mother's like, let's make dua for him. He gets 1-2 inches taller, you know, before you get married, brother, sister, he's already 25 years old. And then you ask why your faith in Allah gets decreased, because that's not going to happen now, right? So this is the spiritual stability. When we show our children that will bring something out. And then finally, I'll say, as far as children are concerned, the next ayah, inshallah, Sheikh Abdullah will talk about this. The next verse is talking about how Allah commands us children to be dutiful to our parents. There's so much can be said about this. Next time you look at your mother's face and her hands, and you see those wrinkles on her forehead and her hands, know that those wrinkles came from taking care of you, raising us. How disrespectful is it that we think of creative ways to become viral on TikTok by doing ridiculous pranks, right, and recording them, but we can't think of creative ways to bring a smile to our mother's face? We can't think of creative ways to bring a smile to our father's face? I mean, this is the injustice at its highest level, right? I mean, The fact that we come to our homes, Allah is saying, no, I'm commanding you to be good to your parents. You know that one poem about that child who comes to his to the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, my father did this, my father, he's complaining about his father. And the Prophet ﷺ sends somebody to call that person and says, you know what, call the father here because the son is complaining. I got to hear both sides of the story. And the father travels to the Masjid Nabawi. While he's traveling there, they're Arab, so that he thought of a poem in his heart. And when he got there, the Prophet ﷺ was divinely told by Allah that before you speak to him, ask him to recite that couplet that he was thinking about on his way here. And the Prophet says to him, recite those couplets that you were thinking about. And he was shocked that, how did you know about it? It was just in my heart. He says, no, before you have a conversation, you have to recite those couplets. And he says, غَدَوْتُكَ مَوْلُودًا وَمُنْتُكَ يَافِعًا تَعُلُّ بِمَا أَجْنِي عَلَيْكَ وَتَنْهَلُ إِذَا لَيْلَةٌ ضَاقَتْكَ بِالسَّقْمِ لَمْ أَبِتْ لِسَقْمِكَ إِلَّا سَاهِرًا أَتَمَلْمَلُ كَأَنِّي أَنَا الْمَطْرُوقُ دُونَكَ بِالَّذِي طُرِقْتَ بِهِ دُونِي فَعَيْنَي يَتَحَمَّلُ تَخَافُ الرَّدَى نَفْسِي عَلَيْكَ وَإِنَّهَا لَتَعْلَمُ أَنَّ الْمَوْتَ وَقْتٌ مُؤَجَّلُ فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ السن والغاية التي إليها مدى ما كنت فيك أؤمل جعلت جزائي غلظة وفضاضة كأنك أنت المنعم المتفضل فيا ليتني إذ لم ترى حق أبوتي فعلت كما الجار المسابق يفعل فأوليتني حق الجوار ولم تكن علي بمال دون مالك تبخل. والله I don't even have time to translate the whole poem, but he's just saying in his heart what parents nowadays would say. I took care of you, I cried for you the days you were sick, I was restless all night. And then when I raised you and you became independent and now you could give back to me, you put it in a ball and you throw it right back in my face as if I never did anything for you. If you could not take care of me as a parent, at least you could have taken care of me as a neighbor and just given me the rights of a neighbor. The Prophet ﷺ cried when he heard this poem and he says, leave from here. You and your wealth all belongs to your father. So as children, we have a responsibility. These are our parents. We cannot walk into our parents' homes with our phones in our hands. You know, when the Prophet was asked, what is the sign of the Day of Judgment? He says, the sign of the Day of Judgment is when people will be more worried about making friends outside their home and not worry about making their adna sadiqahu aqsa abahu. Doing more things to get Facebook likes and Instagram followers, but doing nothing to make your father closer to you. So I end with this, inshallah, the next part where Luqman al-Islam is talking about the rest of the advice and the aspect of shukr about towards our parents and towards Allah. Inshallah, Sheikh Abdullah Duru can take it from here, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala ma ba'd. Just to touch on briefly an important point that the Sheikh alluded to and was talking about, and I think it's an important point for all of us to remember, the whole concept of shukr and gratitude. When we look at the concept of worship in and of itself, of worshiping Allah. You know, we see people that are coming into Islam, people that have been Muslim for a while, and they may face some spiritual crisis, may feel that they're not worthy, may feel that they're not good enough to be in front of Allah. I remember I spoke at this law school one time, and it was talking about Sharia. And then the question was asked, how can we as Muslims have the audacity, you know, Muslim asking, how can we have the audacity to practice this religion when there's so much filth and dirt in our hearts? I said, no, that's exactly the time for you to try to practice the Sharia. Sharia meaning trying to pray five times a day, trying your level best. As long as Allah knows that you're trying and the motive behind you trying is just saying, oh God, I want to say thank you. I want to show my gratitude towards you. And that's why it's important, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that has some maqal in it as far as its level of authenticity. But we see in the meaning that it is very comprehensive and true, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yashkur an-nas lam yashkur Allah." The person that doesn't show gratitude towards mankind is not showing gratitude towards Allah. When one shows gratitude towards a person that has done ihsan to them, towards someone that has done good to them, this is a manifestation and a sign of your gratitude towards Allah, because we recognize that Allah has predestined that to happen to us. So whatever happens in front of you, it is a test for you to see how you will react towards that person that has done ihsan to you, towards the person that wasn't even good to you. You know, I was speaking to a convert group a week ago, and I was saying, you know, many of us may, you know, even as Muslims, many of us may not even know who our fathers or mothers are and may have met them later in our lives. But in Islam, we understand, you know, within this verse, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying after Al-Bilam Shaitan Ajim, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. And we have enjoined on man to be dutiful to his parents. His mother bore him weakness upon weakness. وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues on to say after Al-Bilam Shaitan Ajim, وَفِصَالَهُ فِي عَامَيْنَ أَنِشْكُرْ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that the mother carried him, wahanan ala wahan, weakness upon weakness, and then when she bore him, that it would be weaning in 2 years to give thanks to me. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, as the Shaykh mentioned, that Allah mentioning this, that we have admonished or given mankind this advice. So when we look at ourselves, and we may not even know who our fathers are, may have met them later because of something that may have happened between our parents. They may be divorced, they may be separated. COVID may have been something that was a test for you because you may not have saw your father or mother or relative within the past couple of weeks or months. Doing something that shows a form of gratitude, and I always tell people to take the opportunity to just get a pencil and write a letter. Write a letter and let your emotions flow. Let them spill out. Being respectful as much as you can towards the one that took their time to raise you or towards the one that did not. But you want to say, oh Allah, I thank you for bringing me here, that I'm trying my level best to show gratitude towards you by trying my best to acknowledge my feelings to the one that I felt has neglected me. So when showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you're trying to do your best to implement the Sharia. You're trying to do your best to just practice Islam. You're trying your level best to be a good Muslim. And if we notice in this verse, in verse number 14, when he mentions after the struggle of the mother, he says, Anishkurli wali walidayka ilayya al-masir. Countlessly throughout the Quran, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you to worship him. And then he says, wa bil walidayni ihsana. Wa'budu Allaha wa la tushriku bihi shay'an wa bil walidayni ihsana. In numerous verses, Allah orders you to be good to your parents after he orders you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here he says, anishkur li, to show gratefulness to me, meaning Allah, anishkur li wa li walidayka, and to your two parents, wa ilayya al-masir, and to me will be your final return abode. This is important because in the previous verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, the verse before the verse that he was mentioning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the gratitude, when he says, wa laqad atayna Luqman al-hikmata anishkur lillah, and we have given Luqman the hikmah, we have given him the wisdom, what anishkur lillah, and this is what he's saying, to show gratefulness to Allah. So as a sign of wisdom, proclamation to the people to be gratuitous to Allah is a sign of someone that is applying the knowledge of their life by having wisdom when telling the people this statement. Then continuing on, it says, whoever gives gratefulness and whoever shows gratefulness, then verily that is for himself, because when you are showing gratefulness to Allah, it is good for you. It is good for your own soul, because it is in essence an action of obedience, an action of the heart of obedience that is exemplified through the actions. And shukr is so comprehensive, because any action of worship that you do, if you have the correct intention, it is saying, oh Allah, thank you for giving me these eyes to see. I'm going to use them in a way that's beneficial for me and for others. Oh Allah, thank you for these hands, these feet. Oh Allah, thank you for giving me this appliance, or this, whatever has been given to me, or what I have earned is ultimately what you have given me from a faculty of hearing and seeing, or from objects that you have given me. So this gratefulness, and I will conclude here, is in the beautiful verse, is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the chapter of Ibrahim, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking, mentioning what Musa says to his people, where he says, after A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, wa id ta'adhana rabbukum la in shakartum la azidannakum. And when your Lord proclaimed, in shakartum la azidannakum, and if you were to be gratuitous, if you were to be thankful, la azidannakum. So firstly, he's saying here, it's a conditional sentence. If you were to be the one that says thank you, if you were to be the one that does actions that you are showing Allah saying thank you, Allah says la azidannakum. He uses the form in Arabic by putting the lam in front of the verb, that verily I will surely increase you. Increase you in what? He leaves that blank to show you that whatever he increases you in is up to him, and the amount is up to him, and how he does it is up to him. But it's important for you to just know and to trust that when you show thankfulness to Allah, he will increase you. He will increase you in your intellectual capacity. He will increase you in thanking him more. And that's what Ibn Rajab mentions, the beautiful principle, or the connection, the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When one's iman increases, they do actions of gratefulness. And when they think about that, they're grateful. What do they do? Another action of gratefulness. When they think about that, well, I prayed Fajr today. Yesterday I didn't even pray it. I prayed it today. So you're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that. What can I do to show Allah more gratitude? Oh, I've talked to someone about Islam today. Oh, I opened the door for this woman today. And she looked at me and she said, thank you. And that made me happy because when I opened the door, I was thinking to be righteous to someone's mother. And that's very, very important. How Allah says, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that I will increase you, and does not mention the object of increase. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the contrast here, وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And if you were to be someone that is ungrateful, for verily my punishment is very harsh. Here he uses kafartum. Throughout the Quran, we see Allah uses shukr. The contrast of it is kufr. And kufr here is not disbelief. Rather, it is ungratefulness. It is more of a generic term. Even though kufr does mean disbelief, because voluntary disbelief is somewhat a sign of ungratefulness to Allah, you recognize that he's giving you all this, and you do this as Sheikh Mufti mentioned earlier when you say, oh no, I don't acknowledge you as my father or mother. Oh no, I don't appreciate you. I don't acknowledge you as my father. You've done nothing for me, and you've raised them all of your life. So when seeing here, the importance of gratitude is something that Allah gives you. He gives you something to see how you're going to act with it. Being gratuitous towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a means of worshiping him more and being a better Muslim, being a better person, being a thankful person, because you do not know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you. SubhanAllah, as we were recording, as we were speaking about which verse to talk about, you know, Mufti mentioned this, what happened, that he mentioned, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon her or him who is 12 years old and that, you know, decided to do what was done. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the parents and the community with patience, and may he reward the parents for any good that they have done and for any shortcoming, to make that a means of expiation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on all of us, inshallah. SubhanAllah, even last week myself, I wake up in the morning and then we get a call, and it's a call from a close family friend that their 13-year-old daughter did not wake up from her sleep. The father went to go and see the 13-year-old daughter to wake her up because that whole day she was asleep. He woke her up around 5 p.m. the previous day to eat. She ate, went back to sleep. In the morning, he tries to wake her up. He sees that her body is cold. The sister that's 10 years old comes in and sees her sister, her best friend, body cold, and she's not moving. They take her to the hospital. We immediately rush there. SubhanAllah, it was a scene that I'll never forget. You know, burying the daughter, seeing the community members. And then SubhanAllah, days after that, when I return back to Dallas, I get a call from my wife, because she stays there, that the mother who was pregnant had a miscarriage. The stress that she was going through from her daughter that passed away, not wanting to eat. So to realize this, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, whom of which we all are, to show gratitude towards your parents, and parents, show gratitude towards Allah by showing gratitude to your children, being thankful for their presence, telling them that you love them every now and then, showing them that, look, I thank you for giving me advice. You indirectly gave me advice. Thank you for asking me this question. I made a mistake. You know, we show gratitude towards our children even, and that is showing gratitude towards Ar-Razzaq, the one that has provided you with your child, who is a direct manifestation of you and sign of you. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the gratuitous and make us thankful. And when we recognize that thankfulness, may he make us of those that increase in our worship of him. Jazakallah khairan.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. And I do want to, I think, to pick up off of that, just, I know it's not intended at all, but it's an important point that when we're talking about the 12-year-old, may Allah have mercy on her or him, that, you know, when the mother expresses regret about that, you know, sometimes you do everything right as a parent and, you know, SubhanAllah, things happen, right? And that's, it's not, you know, while a person might blame themselves in, you know, when Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in Surah Al-Ahqaf, you know, وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهِ وَيْلَكَ آمِنَ. Allah tells us about righteous parents speaking to their child and trying to tell their child to believe, and their child responds negatively. So sometimes you do everything right, but SubhanAllah, you're still tested in certain ways. And of course, this child was very young. May Allah have mercy on this child, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the parents to be comforted. Mm-hmm. May Allah have mercy on the child that passed away in Houston as well, and make it easy for the family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comfort them all. Mm-hmm. And this reminds us that there are so many real issues in the community that we often become disconnected from. and not to take that turn altogether, but it's important for us to recognize that, especially as people of knowledge or people that are in some sort of pastoral capacity, that we often talk above these issues, and these are issues that are very important to people. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring comfort and ease and healing. And I think, by the way, I mean, just to say that is, I think, one of the blessed results our interdisciplinary approach as researchers. On Fridays, we have Quranic Healing in the trauma series, where we actually have mental health specialists to sort of help us integrate our understandings of faith with some of those things that, really show themselves through the science of mental health and emotional health. With that being said, I'll just share one more reflection, which is, when I was doing the class on Ibadur Rahman, the servants of the Most Merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ibadur Rahman, and one of the first descriptions is الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا, those who tread the earth lightly. And when they are approached by the ignorant, they simply say salam, they say peace. And here, Luqman is also speaking to his son, and he says, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِيكَ, be moderate with your pace, watch the way that you walk, وَغْضُدْ مِنْ زَوْتِكَ, and watch your salt, watch your voice, lower your voice. Don't be like al-hamir, don't be like a donkey in its braying in the way that you speak. And I think there is an inherent connection that we often miss between humility and gratitude, just as there is an inherent connection between pride and arrogant behavior. And you know, we see it, boastfulness, and you know, the Prophet ﷺ, even when he talks about a person who was dragging his izar, dragging his garment out of pride, right, and condemning that. And you hear about this in many ways, right? You know, in the behavior of shaitan that manifests itself, that he becomes disconnected from shukr, he becomes disconnected from gratitude, and hence he displays a great sense of pride, right? And the opposite of that, which is that a humble heart is a grateful heart, because a grateful heart becomes more connected to the source of blessings, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not us. And when you realize that Allah is the source of those blessings, you do not feel a sense of pride for the acquisition of those blessings. Instead, you feel a great sense of humility for the bestowal of those blessings upon you, and that humbles your behavior, right? You act with a certain sense of humility and grace with everyone because you realize the grace that was shown to you. And just as the Prophet ﷺ said that you cannot separate shukr to Allah from shukr to the people, if you insert, and of course we're not adding to the words of the Prophet ﷺ, but some of the layers of what the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah is most entitled to your gratitude. And then your parents, obviously, Allah Azza wa Jalla puts them in an elevated category, and then your family in general, and then the community, right? You cannot be grateful to Allah and be arrogant with the people, ungrateful with the people. And I think a layer of that as well is that you cannot show gratitude to those on the outside of your home, but be a complete jerk on the inside of your home. I mean, really, it's as simple as that. There are people that are oppressors in their homes and just courteous charmers on the outside of their home. May Allah protect us and allow us to have consistent gratitude through our spiritual and social lives, through our family lives and our community lives. And so it's important for us to really realize that every time we have a methodology of adab and tarbiyah in the Quran, of mannerisms in the Quran, it gives us a holistic approach to life, and it connects worship to family, to community. And that's when Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us what Ibadur Rahman are, who the servants of the Most Merciful are. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the story of Luqman al-Hakim with his son, the principles of Luqman al-Hakim and the tarbiyah that he's giving to his son, which is certainly praiseworthy, because it is praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most Praiseworthy himself. And so it's important for us to really, I think, try to translate that into our lives. And the greatest way to be a parent is to be an example. Luqman al-Hakim, when he tells his son these things, his son can observe all of these things in him, and that's actually very important, right? You can't just tell your children, respect your mom, but then you disrespect your wife, right? You can't tell your children, respect your grandparents, but then you disrespect your parents, right? You can't tell your children, you know, go pray, and then they see you, you know, lacking with your prayer. You can't tell your children, don't lie, but they can sense the dishonesty because kids have these great senses, right, as they start to grow up, right? You've got to be an example of that as well. And I think that's the point. Luqman al-Hakim had a high station, and he's giving his child lessons on how to achieve that high station as well. And he reached that high station with his elevated character, and he's giving his son a methodology for how to have an elevated character. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all of that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us examples of guidance for our children, and to make us examples for the community around us and for the people around us, and to allow us to follow the greatest example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every element of our lives. Okay. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. It was sobering, but it was refreshing as always. It's never a dull moment with Mufti Abdurrahman, mashallah. You know, you get everything from something about his turban to something about Yusuf alayhi salam to Iqbal and al-Shafi'i. And then, you know, then he makes you cry. Then he just, you know, so it's never a dull moment with you, Mufti Saab. But we're happy to have you, alhamdulillah. And Sheikh Abdullah, as always, Jazakallah khair for your wonderful insights. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll see everyone next week for Quranic reflections as well. And of course, continue on for this last week and a half of keeping connected with the Quran as a campaign. But we pray Allah always make us from Ahlul Quran. Amen. You know, beyond this month as well. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullahu khair.
This podcast was brought to you by Yaqeen Institute for Islamic Research, dismantling doubts and nurturing conviction, one truth at a time. Tune in tomorrow for the next episode on Quranic themes, and subscribe to this series. If you like this episode, you'll love our other content. Visit yaqeeninstitute.org or download our app from the App Store. Until next time, this has been Keeping Connected.